FM. Just gone 8:30. Is there a doctor in the house? Oh, yes, there is. Dr. Bruce Thompson.
Good morning.
And lovely to see you again. I believe you had to swim some of the way here today.
It was quite hectic in the highway last night. Oh, big storm.
Huge.
Big storm.
And cloud burst. Yeah, it seemed like it was very localized because we have reports of big rain to the north of us, huge rain to the south, and in Bolito itself, we had rain, but nothing
you guys were
dramatic.
Lucky.
We were lucky. We were lucky, I think so. So, we're continuing the conversation because last week we got to a point and we had to end because time is always against us.
Indeed.
Let us pick up where we were, maybe as a recap.
Yeah, a little bit of a recap of where we'd reached. We were going through the sort of every 6 hour period with fasting. So just a recap. Obviously, in the first 12 hours, you're using up all of your circulating glucose, and then you're starting to move on to stored glycogen. So that's stored in the liver and in the muscles. And that, as it's broken down, then produces glucose that helps you to operate. At about 12 hours, you've used all of your glucose and your glycogen stores are even starting to run out, and you start getting increased growth hormone, which is a useful thing. It also starts to help the body to mobilize resources. We started talking about this concept of autophagy, which is the really one of the key elements of fasting, the key benefits of fasting, and that's the cleaning up of the system. It's like a spring clean. And it's interesting that most fasts, according to the Northern Hemisphere anyway, is the end of winter, beginning of spring, moving towards summer. It's always in that sort of period of time as Lent is. And this is a spring clean for the body. It's a way that the body can then start to identify old cells, weak cells. And it's very discriminating. It doesn't go initially and choose healthy cells. It'll choose unhealthy cells, the ones that really are at the end of their life cycle. And it'll start digesting those and using the components of those cells to create energy, right? We talked about amyloid being absorbed and eaten up, that autophagy, remember, meaning eating yourself, old proteins and immune factors, and so on. And 24 hours, so this is kind of where we got to last time we had run out. At 24 hours, we're getting like a massive increase in gut healing. Heart health starts to improve, and brain healing as well. So we get these factors that are produced by the brain, which allow it to start tidying itself up and creating new connections, new neurons. It's a brain-derived factor, brain-derived neurogenic factor, neurotropic factor, I think it's called. And then that idea of stem cells, I think, which we may have briefly touched on last time, that we see an increase, a marked increase in the function and the activity of stem cells. And remember, stem cells are critical factors for healing because they are undifferentiated cells, and they can be used by the body absolutely anywhere to create new tissue. So that's obviously a beautiful thing. We see an increase in mitochondrial activity, and remember, mitochondria are the elements of the cell that fundamentally produce energy. It's an inheritance that we get on the female line, we get from our mothers, and it is a critical element of the cell. Without mitochondria, the cells don't function. So we see an uptick there. We see a reduction in tumor activity. We see a reduction in new blood cell and blood vessel development around tumors, and we see a slowing down of blood supply to tumors around about this time, in that after 48 hours, and an increase in antioxidants. So, the body, you may or may not know, body produces its own hydrogen peroxide, and hydrogen peroxide works in the intercellular spaces and within cells to kill bad things. Okay, just to make it very simple. So we know that we need antioxidants, and hydrogen peroxide is one of those elements. Okay.
It sounds almost miraculous, and it sounds like something that is almost mandatory.
Yeah.
Particularly as one gets on a little. There must be, however, caveats.
As with anything, moderation. We need to apply moderation to these things. Excessive fasting can actually increase aging. Okay, you start to get the negative effects when you start to do it too much. Okay, so you should always do this with moderation and also with guidance.
I was going to suggest. Yeah.
So you speak to someone who knows about fasting. Educate yourself. There's lots of books. There's stuff on the internet. You do have to be a little bit careful of all of that.
Well, but I was going to say, there's a lot of stuff available on just about any subject you can think of, but it's not all in one direction. Yeah. Some of it is contradictory.
Yeah.
And how do you know which to leave out and which to take on board?
Well, I always believe also in applying a little bit of common sense, and unfortunately, common sense these days seems to be in short supply.
It's not really that common.
Yeah. Neither common nor sensible. So it is important to if you are unsure, if you don't feel like you know enough, speak to someone who knows what they're doing.
I think that would be mandatory.
There are plenty of people out there who do.
Because also you're probably going to need some support. And I think therein lies the connection.
Yeah.
If you've got someone that you're able to tap into in terms of, I'm battling with this or should I do that? Mm. It's so important that you have a reliable connection to what we're discussing, which is the extended fast. And herein, I would imagine, is the idea that your healthcare provider may be your best contact point there. I would suggest that possibly if you are listening to this and wondering about whether it's something that you would benefit from, you give the good doctor a ring. He's down in the Bolito Village at the Thrive Pharmacy on a Friday and available for consultation. But conversely, during the rest of the week, you're on the end of a cell phone. Why don't you give us that number?
083-7899-328. And it's always best to just WhatsApp me.
There we go. Yeah. So this will go up as a podcast. You won't have to remember that number necessarily. You can just listen to it on demand and you'll find the information that you require. Fascinating subject, the fast. How did you come by it?
It's always been part of my life, so I do fast. And
Bruce is 106, but he looks.
I thought I recognized you from 100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you've been some around of that long too.
Photographs, you know.
Thank you guys. Thank you very much.
First World War, and then
too kind. So that's it. There's a lot more to talk about with fasting. This is the tip of the iceberg. We've just touched on broad strokes, main points. But if you're listening and you want to hear more and you want to explore this a little bit more or get some support, then give me a call.
I think it's important to outline as well that fasting is a very age-old practice. It's not the new kid on the block, like some of these miracle drugs.
Do you know what is new?
What?
Eating every day.
Is it?
That is only the modern era that it has become a norm, except for the very wealthy, of course. They've always been able to eat every day, and they've all, if you go back 4,000 or 5,000 years and look at the records, even the wealthy suffered from the diseases we suffer from today, the lifestyle diseases.
So most of our modern day common diseases are as a result of being too well fed.
Aggravated by it. You know, we're incredibly well nourished, but we've become overnourished. And we don't ever, people generally don't give their system a rest. Now, your brain needs a rest. We sleep, right? Mm. What about your gut? We don't give it a rest. You know, we're digesting through the night, and often sleep, eating too late, snacking before we go to bed. The gut never gets a rest, and then we wonder why we have problems.
Interesting. In fact, I would imagine that if one was to look back at practices that have survived, the good ones, we in our modern parlance should be taking more cognizance of that than the get thin fast or the get well immediately from the pill or the injection, which has got all sorts of after, you know, side effects and ramifications. Whereas this natural way, clearly, there is massive benefit to be derived. And thank you for being
just touching on it.
Available touch on it is we got to start somewhere. Perception is your reality, and if your perception is that you need to eat every couple of minutes to feel that you're surviving, well, you know, that's your reality. But the ultimately, I would imagine there is a better way to live. You know, we tend to live to eat. Well, I used to until I met you. And a much better way is to eat to live, isn't it, sir?
Well, just remember that concept I keep on coming back to, which is that obstacles to cure, that homeopathic concept that we're trained to identify, we're trained to look for, and it just always came up. You know, it's one of those things. This is why I've been pushed towards this conversation with my patients, because eating too much is an obstacle to cure, and it seems obvious when you think about it, but most people don't think about it.
Yeah, and it's not only eating, of course, it's drinking, and it's everything to excess, which we tend in our modern parlance to take on board. So there it is. Bruce Thompson, homeopath, is available for consultation in the Bolito Village on a Friday, but the rest of the week he's up in the highway area. On the end of his WhatsApp cell phone number that he gave you earlier, I really would recommend, if you are in any way curious as to how to live better and to overcome some of the ills. Ultimately, your health is your wealth. You can be the richest corpse in the cemetery. Yeah. No one cares. But while you've got a little bit of an opportunity to have fun, then obviously your health is your number one priority. And there it is for today. Bruce, we'll catch up in a week's time.
Maybe two. Public holiday next Friday.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yes.
It is. Well, I'm glad that some of us take holidays. Oh.
Be in the burg.
Lovely. So in a fortnight's time, we'll be back with the good Dr. Bruce Thompson. This will be up as a podcast very shortly, and the morning show continues.